All right, if you have a Bible this morning, find the book of Psalms, and we're going to be in chapter 139. Psalms is the largest chapter, or the largest book in all of the Bible, and it is right in the center of your paper Bible if you have that. And so find that if you have a Bible today. And listen, I cannot even begin to tell you how excited I am for what I feel like God is doing in our church and for what I believe God is leading us into here over the next few weeks. Today, we are starting a brand new message series that we are titling Dangerous Prayers. Dangerous Prayers. This series is based on a book that I read a few months ago where a pastor took some pieces of the Bible and kind of wrote what God had shown him in different things. Amazing. Lost me for a second there. All right. Some of you are like, you've been lost a lot more than just that time, Pastor Kyle. I agree with you. All right. But this book, as I read it a few months ago, was so transformational for me that I actually read it again. Back to back. I read it twice. And then I just began to feel God kind of asking me to share this with you on Sunday mornings. And then as a staff, as we began to work some of this out over the past few months, we kind of corporately began to feel God leading us as a church to take our entire small group, we call them life groups, and really all at once kind of do this exact topic all together. And listen, those life groups actually start this week. If you are not signed up for one of those, you can still get in one, and I would highly recommend that you do that, okay? Figure out how to make it work for you. It's one time a week here for the next 6 weeks is all that this is. All sorts of different times of the day and different evenings, different locations all over the place and all of that. And I just fully believe that if you will go into this time, like prioritizing Sunday mornings over the next number, prioritizing these small groups, going into this stuff with an open heart and just kind of an expectant way about you, like there is no limit to what I believe God will do in your life, okay? You can still get in a life group. You can still do that. Sign up on our website, rlcmn.church, and there's a spot that says life groups. It's pretty easy. If you are under the age of 90, you will be able to figure it out, okay? Even if you can't work your phone, I remember my grandma. My grandma was, she was 94 about when she passed away, and she was 90-some years old, and we were hanging out at the restaurant, and we walk into the restaurant, and there's a sign that says, free Wi-Fi, and my 90-plus-year-old grandma walks up and walks in, and super loud just says, what's Wi-Fi? Like really, really loud, and we're like, oh, if this was a joke, this would be really funny, but unfortunately, it's not. Do you remember that, Kelly? You're like, no, I don't. All right, that's okay. All right, but man, we're calling this Dangerous Prayers. What we're going to be doing over the next few weeks is we are going to teach you to start praying a few very specific prayers, okay? But let me warn you, even right up front, these are not easy prayers to pray. They are not safe prayers. We're calling them dangerous prayers for a reason, but they are dangerous in a good way. Why are we doing this? What is the big deal here? Okay, we've talked about this a lot over the past number of weeks and even number of months. So many Christians, specifically in our area of the world, seem to live these complacent, stagnant versions of Christianity. That is so much different. It's so different than what we read about in the Bible. Living Christian lives that really don't cost us anything when Jesus literally says, come and die if you want to follow me. And here we live where we, okay, sometimes I'm going to go to church. I'm going to, okay, understand. In fact, think about this with me. Along with this comes a pretty safe view of prayer and a pretty safe prayer life. Think about this with me. What are the things that we often pray for? We often pray things like this. God, just bless us here today. Think about that for a second. It's a pretty safe prayer, isn't it? God, just bless us. We think, we pray, God, I pray that you'd help me. Okay? God, protect my family as we travel. Safe prayers. These are safe prayers that cost us really nothing. But listen, I want more. I want more. I want more than that. And for those of you who are with me on this, what we're going to do is really just arm you with a couple of prayers that are not safe. And know that when you do this, what you're really doing is you're kind of like you're asking God to do things that are going to bring you out of your comfort zone. They're going to take you out of this normal, safe version of Christianity. In fact, next week we're going to be talking about a very dangerous prayer that says, God, break me. God, break me. This is the last thing that any of us want, but understand, on the other side of brokenness is a closeness with God and a dependence on God that you cannot get in any other way except through being broken, through brokenness, okay? Week number three, we're going to pray a prayer that I'm actually believing will change the course of some of our lives. We're going to pray, God, send me. God, send me, okay? Typically, we like to say to God, this is what I'm going to do. Now, God, please bless it, all right? What we're going to do is instead of saying, God, I'll do whatever I want for you, we're going to learn to sign a blank contract with God is what this is going to be. A contract that says, like, whatever, whenever, however, God, I am available for you. Okay, all right, that's a very dangerous prayer. We're going to talk about that in 2 weeks. Now, all that brings us to today, where we're going to look at a prayer from the Bible, a dangerous prayer to pray. This is not easy, and you will see why in a moment. But let's start by reading our passage of Scripture together. Stand with me all over this place. Psalms 139 and verse number 23 and 24. And this is our prayer for today. This is what we're going to talk straight out of the Bible, straight out of the life of a man named David. All right, so here we go. Psalms 139, verse 23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. Come on, let's pray. God, we open ourselves up to you today and ask that you would show us things, that you would speak to us, that you would move us, God, challenge us, change us, God. I pray, Lord, that even as I share, God, that your word and your very words would come out, that your thoughts and your ideas would be the center of everything we do today. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to speak and to move in every heart and every life here today, Lord. We love you. We need you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, go ahead and have a seat. Okay, Book of Psalms, absolutely fantastic book of the Bible. Why? Because in a way it's a little bit different than all of the other books, okay? In the Bible we have a number of different types of books of the Bible, okay? 66 different books. Some of those are history, okay, where you have historical events and the story of what has happened, okay? Some of those are biographies where someone in a way writes about someone's specific life. Some of those are letters that were written from one person to another or from a person to a group of people. Okay, you can get the idea. There's poetry in the Bible. There's all of this type of... The book of Psalms, though, the easiest way for me to explain what it is it's like we're reading and have access to somebody's journal. Okay? And so we have this massive, massive piece of literature that has put together a number of different people have written the book of Psalms, and it's like we get to read right into somebody's soul, what they are going through, what their prayers are, all of those types of things. It's absolutely fantastic. In the case of Psalms 139, it's the journal of this guy named King David. Okay? David was the king of Israel a few thousand years ago, before Jesus even, this incredible man of God. He was king, but then even way before he was king, when he was a teenager, he killed a giant. You maybe heard that story before if you went to Sunday school, David and Goliath, okay? That's this same guy, all right? Incredible man. In fact, at one point, God refers to David as the man after God's own heart. That's what God calls him. But David also made some mistakes, some big mistakes, and part of, not what we're reading today, but part of his journal is him pouring out his regret and his shame over what he has done. Powerful, powerful stuff. What we read together today, our prayer for today, is actually the last two verses of this specific psalm, this specific journal entry, if you want to call it that. That was the end. Let me show you how it starts, and we're going to kind of work up to where this goes, okay? Psalms 139, this is verse number one. He writes this, he says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." It's this idea of God, you know me inside and out. You know everything about me. You know all the things that I've done, and you know the words that I say, the actions that I do, everything about me. Oh, God, you know me. A different place, it says God knows the how many hairs are on your head. And for some of you, that's easier to count than others. Right, Marty? All right. Sorry. All right. But God knows everything there is about you. Okay. And then a few verses past that, we get to verse number 13. It's probably the most famous verse in this chapter, in this journal portion for him. He writes this. He says, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." It's this beautiful picture of God creating us, knitting us together in our mother's womb. We are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Now, by the way, this verse right here is really the main core reason of why most Christians are pro-life in the way that they view the government and all of those types of things. Okay? It's not that Christians are against people making decisions for themselves and some of those. It's just this idea of like God knitting this baby together in his mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully made. It becomes difficult for Christians to rationalize killing an unborn baby that has been fearfully and wonderfully made by God, okay? Now, that's a sermon for a different day. But all of this actually sets us up for David's prayer in verse 23 and 24, okay? God, you created me. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I'm fearfully and wonderfully, and you know everything there is about me. You know my thoughts. You know what I do. You know every word that comes from my mouth, okay? And then David prays this. He says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting." Now, quickly, let's clear something up before we get into this in a much deeper level. Okay, David has just said, "God, you know everything about me," in verse number one. And then he says, "Search my heart and know my heart." Okay, and we're like, well, that's kind of redundant. He already knows, but then why are you asking him to know? All right, but understand what David is doing here. David is giving God permission to point out the things inside of him that are not good. He's giving God permission in praying this prayer. Okay? Now, there are four parts to this prayer, four parts, and we're going to go through them one by one. So if you are taking notes, just write some stuff down here. First thing that David prays is this. In this prayer, he says, "God, search my heart. God, search my heart." He says that directly in verse number 23. "Search my heart. Search me, God, and know my heart." Now, for some of us, this may sound like a weird thing for David to pray. "Search my heart." Because we even like to say things kind of like, "Well, she has a good heart." You know, like we throw that around. Actually, understand this. You need to understand that without Christ, we do not have a good heart. Absolutely in no way. In fact, Jeremiah 17:9 is just this crazy harsh verse. Let me show this to you. He talks about the condition of the human heart. Okay, he writes, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Come on, amen, amen. Desperately wicked, deceitful. That is your heart. Don't you feel good about that today? You are wicked. I say that in a funny way, but listen, at our very core, understand that without Jesus, we are not good. Like, we are not good. We are deceitful. What does that mean? It means that we lie. We lie. We deceive others. We deceive ourselves. In fact, like, often the most common way that we deceive is like we lie to ourselves. We rationalize and excuse away all the bad things about us. We do. We'll talk about that in a moment. But like I don't have an issue with eating. I'm just an American. That's what we do, right? All right, as we go into Super Bowl stinking day. All right, like I don't drink too much. It's not hurting anybody. It's only a few nights a week. I don't have an issue with pride. I can't help it if I'm just better than everybody else, right? We like I'm not materialistic. I really just like nice things. I'm not a gossip. I just tell other people so they can pray for these people that are doing bad things. We rationalize everything that we do inside of. We deceive ourselves. We do. And it's a really dangerous prayer when we go before God and we say, God, search my heart. Show me what is really in there. Search my heart, God, okay? Now, why is this a dangerous prayer? Because when you get the guts to invite God to search your heart, God will begin to show you things that are not okay inside of you. Not to be cruel, but truly to bring you into this deeper relationship with him, like as the Holy Spirit transforms you into the image of, it is a dangerous prayer, but it's one that can bring you much closer to God. David prayed, search my heart. Okay, then he prays, essentially, number two, reveal my fears. Reveal my fears. He says this in verse 23, search me, God, and know my heart. And then he says, test me and know my anxious thoughts. Okay, it's kind of an interesting thing for him to pray. Like, know my anxious thoughts. But think about this with me. Well, what is it that makes you anxious? Well, what is it that makes you afraid? And I'm not talking about snakes and spiders, okay? Right, Lydia? Okay, I won't point you out or tell everyone how crazy afraid you are of spiders and how you, never mind, we were not going to talk about it because you'll kill me, okay? What is it that makes you, like, internally, what is it that you worry about the most? Are you afraid of losing your job? Are you afraid of, like, not getting married or not finding the right person or maybe being, like, stuck in this marriage and it not ever getting better? Like, are you afraid of the future and the unknown? Are you afraid of failing? Are you afraid of losing somebody that you love? Or losing something that you value? So are you afraid of getting sick and getting that doctor's report? Does that keep you up at night? Do you worry about, like, what are your most anxious thoughts? Why does this matter? Why would David say, God, show me my anxious thoughts? I'll tell you why. Write this down. What we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. What you fear the most reveals in you and inside your heart where you actually trust God the least. Like, listen, if I'm scared to death that my marriage isn't going to work, then very simply, like, I'm not trusting God with my marriage. I don't trust him. If I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to pay my bills, then I am not trusting in God as my provider, like the Bible tells us. If I'm afraid of my children getting hurt, my children getting sick, okay, or worse, then I'm not trusting God with my family, with my kids. If I'm anxious about getting the report from the doctor, I'm not trusting God in that area. What we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. So here's what we do. We say, God, show me my anxious thoughts. Where is it that I am not trusting you. Bring that to light, oh God. And I believe that as we begin to ask God that, and that's a dangerous prayer, I'll tell you why in a moment, I believe God will put things in our minds, and as we become more and more aware of these areas, and we begin to think of them not as fears, but think of them as places where we are not trusting God, then we can now allow God to move and work inside of us in those areas. God, reveal my fears, test me, and show me where my anxious thoughts may fall. Where are they? Okay? Because it's a dangerous prayer, because God will reveal things to you about yourself that you maybe haven't been willing to acknowledge, like for years and years and years. Why? Because the most common lie we tell is to ourselves. Understand, God, show me, okay? That's not an issue for me. I've got this. Oh, I'm fine. Search my heart, God. Reveal to me my fears. And then number three, and this is where this gets even way more difficult. Number three, uncover my sin. Uncover my sins. And this is what David prays. He prays it in verse number 24. God, see if there is any offensive way in me. See if there is any offensive way in me. You've shown me my anxious thoughts. You've shown me the places where I'm not trusting you. Now show me the places, show me the things in my life that are displeasing to you. That are displeasing to you. Okay? See if there's any offensive way. Have you ever noticed that it's much easier to see everybody else's sin than your own? Have you ever noticed that? Do you feel that, or am I the only one? That you look around and you can point your finger all over the place. Okay, Jesus even hints at this at one point in the book of Matthew. He says, like, why worry about it, the speck in your friend's eye when you've got a log coming out of your own? I mean, Jesus, that's what Jesus says. That's funny to me. Like the imagery here of I'm looking around and I see the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye and I've got a plank coming out of my own. Think about that with me. Jesus paints this picture. Like we tend to accuse others and excuse ourselves. Ah, someone should have said like, ah, that hurts or that's good or something, all right? We tend to like, we accuse other people and yet we excuse our own motives and our own selves. And okay, the most common lies are the ones we tell ourselves. It takes tremendous courage to say, God, show me anything in my life and in my thoughts and in my heart that are offensive to you. Giving God permission to point out the junk that is inside of you. All right, now let me give you three questions to ask yourself as you are praying, God, if there is anything offensive, any offensive ways in me. Three questions that will help with this. Number one, what have others told me about me? What are people saying to me, okay? What are the people around you been saying that in a way you are blown off? Maybe someone has told you that you drink too much or have an issue with pain medicine or overeating. Maybe your friends are continuously telling you that you keep saying yes to the wrong relationships. And they keep saying that. Like instead of blowing this stuff off, understand maybe God is using the people around you to point out things in your life that are not okay. Come on, all right? Number two, what have I rationalized for some time here? What have I rationalized? What are the things like that you are rationalizing? Things like there's nothing wrong with looking at porn. Everybody does it. Like beside, I could be doing way worse things. We rationalize. I don't have a temper problem. I wouldn't yell at you if you didn't do what you do, all right? It's your fault that you make me so mad. We rationalize these things. My drinking is not a problem. I just have a few beers to unwind. It's not like I'm chugging whiskey or anything. We rationalize things in our mind. Don't miss this. Gambling is not a problem for me. It's entertainment. I could stop anytime. Okay, I'm not selfish. I just like nice things. It's like I've worked hard my whole life. I deserve a few good things. What is it that you are rationalizing? You are excusing in your life in that way. Okay, and number three, where am I most defensive? Okay, What is it that like when your spouse or your family member keeps bringing up that for some reason you fly off the handle? I don't even understand what that means, but okay, fly off the handle, that's a weird thing. All right, but that you go nuts over. What is it that you are so defensive about when somebody says, when someone brings that up, and you find yourself like always, okay? Think about that. God might be showing you right now because of how you are responding inside of your heart. All right, where am I most defensive? Where is it that you are defending your actions the hardest? All right, and when you have the courage to pray this prayer, see if there is any offensive way in me. Let me make you a promise. God will point things out. He'll point things out. Some things that you've been trying to explain away for quite some, God will point things out that you've been trying to deny. Do not deny the truth. Denying the truth does not make the truth false. All right? Submit yourself to what God is trying to show you. And then what we do is we have the courage to bring it to light. Now, most of us are familiar with the word confession. And maybe you have a whatever view of that based on your upbringing and different things. Okay? Confession in the Bible is not necessarily going to a priest. We really don't see that. Okay? But here's what we do see. We see confession in two places, confession to God and confession to other people. That's what we see. Let me show you this. Okay, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Confessing our sins to God, but we also confess to people for healing. Let me show you this, James 5. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. All right? So confession should show up in your life as a Christian in multiple ways if you are dealing with the junk inside of you. Listen, like none of us are perfect. We are all imperfect people who are being transformed by a perfect God. I was watching something this week, and one of the pastors, he just flat out said, he said, if you are perfect, then this is not the church for you. Because this is not, we're filled with people that are messy. We're filled with people that are trying to be transformed by God and move in that direction. We all need help. We all need each other. Search my heart, God, reveal my fears, uncover my sins. Now, what do these do? All three of these, they point to us, our need for Jesus. They point right, like that we need his grace. They point the areas out in our lives where we need God the most. And they're the areas that the majority of us as Christians are ignoring inside of us. The place where you need God the most is most often the place that you are lying to yourself about the most. Think about it. Uncover my sins. I'm addicted. Well, you need his power to overcome. Like, I'm full of pride. You need his power to be humbled. I have a lust issue. You need his truth, like, to renew your mind and transform your heart. I'm materialistic. You need to fall so in love with him that this world is not your home, and you begin to understand that you're living for another place. Whatever he shows you points you directly to your need for Christ. And this is a dangerous prayer to pray, because when you pray it, God will show you and bring up the junk inside of you. And so many of us don't want to know what's going on inside. And some of us know some of the junk in there, and you don't want to deal with it, and you want to talk about it, and you don't want to do anything with it because you know what will come out. That's why this is a dangerous prayer. All right? Now, all this leads to the very end of his prayer. The fourth part is David prays, he prays, lead me. Okay, see if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. When you show me what I don't like about myself, when you show me the things that are not right in my heart and in my life, then God, lead me into the way of everlasting. See, understand, the purpose and the point of this whole thing in this dangerous prayer is not just that God would show us the impurities inside of us. Like, we want more than to simply know our fearful and anxious thoughts. We want God to lead us and to direct us and to guide us to become who he wants us to be. All right? Now, before we go today, like I just want us to take a moment together for a time of prayer and reflection. And for some of us, like, for some of us here today, you want nothing to do with opening yourself up for God to examine your insides. Maybe it's too painful. Maybe you know what's in there and you're ashamed of that. Maybe you know that you'd have to deal with some things, or maybe you just don't want to change. And maybe you're okay with this apathetic, complacent version of American Christianity. But for some of us today, like, what we want is just, we want more of God. And I think if you're at that spot, you realize, like, there is something keeping me from that. A super dumb illustration, wasn't even planning on this, and it's something that I had told someone last week, okay? We want to go deeper with God, but there's always something that is keeping us from going to that next place, okay? And think about it this way, like, you're standing on the edge of a swimming pool, and you're saying, I want to go deeper, okay, but you're wearing like the little kid water wing things. You know what I mean? Dumb illustration, but you're trying to dive in and you can do everything in your power, everything that you can to attempt to get down and try to go deeper. You will never get there unless you remove the things that are keeping you up here. Do you understand? And what we're doing here in this dangerous prayer is we are saying, God, what are the things in my life that are keeping me from going deeper in my relationship with you? What are those things? Show them to me so that I can begin to work them out. Lead me in that stuff so that I can know you better. That's what this is. That's what this is. Will you stand with me all over this place? Search me, God. Search me, God. And know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. I want to challenge you to begin to pray this prayer this week and see what God will do. God, we pause for just a moment to reflect on what you may be saying to us as a church family, but also as individuals. God, I believe that you are calling us deeper. You are calling us to go closer to you, to draw near to you in ways like never before. But God, we stand here understanding fully that every single person in this place has something or multiple things that are keeping us from that next step. God, it could be fear of the unknown and fear of becoming weird. It could be simply a lack of understanding and not being able to really put all this all together. God, it could very well be sin that we are holding on to, that we are unwilling to let go. God, that is keeping us from taking the next step in our relationship with you. And God, we come here today and even publicly right now, God, I'm just asking that you would reveal to me my sin, that you would show me my anxious thoughts, that you would show me the places and the ways that where I am not trusting you. And God, I pray that you would lead me in this process so that I come out the other side knowing you more and more and better and better. God, that is my desire. That is what I am after. God, I open myself up to you. No matter what junk comes out, God, I pray for that. I pray for that. And Lord, I pray for the people here. I just pray that as some of us take this difficult step and ask you to do, Lord, I just pray that you would begin to reveal things, that you'd begin to move, that you'd begin to show things, God. Lord, we give this to you. Move us and change us and challenge us in your name, we pray. One final thing, just kind of before we're done, maybe you're here today and you have never given your life to Jesus. You've never made that decision. You've never responded to him. I'm not asking you if you have been baptized or confirmed or go to church or not. okay? I'm asking you, have you ever personally for yourself made the decision saying, I believe in Jesus, I submit my life to him, I give you my life, God, I want you to be Lord of my life, repent of all of those things. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor Kyle, I have never done that. I've never done that and I want to do that today. If that's you, just quickly show me your hand. If you're online watching right now, you can respond to this as well. You can hit a little button that says respond or raise a hand or whatever it says. Respond to this. Anyone in this place, anyone right now that would say, this is for me today. I need that. Church, can we just say a prayer together to kind of help those? If anyone is responding to that right now, we just want to lead you in a prayer. Everyone in this place, pray this with me. Pray, Father God, I give you my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Forgive me of my sins and change my life. In your name, I pray. All right, come on, let's celebrate that together. If you made that decision today for the first time, we celebrate with you. We celebrate with you. God, as we walk out these doors, I pray, Lord, that we would, God, pray dangerous prayers, that we would not live safe Christianity like everyone else around us, but God, that we would get off of our rear ends and serve you the way that we are supposed to. God, change us, challenge us, move us. God, we give this to you, Lord, and it's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Feel free to come and spend some time in prayer if you'd like. Otherwise, thanks for coming today. You are dismissed.